Hello, my friends. This is Brett Kiesling of the EO Podcast Network and host of the ESOP Podcast. This episode of the Owner to Owner Podcast with Jesse Tyler is the third of three parts, where Jesse has called upon his colleagues at Hypertherm to look at a specific aspect of employee ownership. Usually, Jesse's guests work at company facilities where they're surrounded by many other employee owners. But Jesse was curious about how the road warriors, often in sales and distribution, represent and reflect employee ownership when traveling away from their colleagues and fellow employee owners for a large period of time. Today's episode, like the previous two, are truly international, with Jesse's guests based in Spain and the United Kingdom. Jesse talks to his guests where he finds them, and sometimes the audio is not quite the quality we'd prefer, but I hope you'll agree the authenticity of the recording reflects the experiences of Jesse's guests and makes it very much worth it. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast. I'm Jesse Tyler, your host. We do this podcast of an employee owner talking to employee owners, in this case, around the globe. This is the third part in a three-part series, talking to Hypertherm Associates Sales, so we can hear the stories. The way I would say this in New Hampshire is to hear the stories of the lone wolves. What is it like to be an owner in a remote position, your home office? When you think about employee ownership, often there's pictures of gatherings and cupcakes and meals and people seeing each other down the hall. And I'm really curious to bring different voices to the NAP conversation about employee ownership and its value, and to hear those insights from some of our salespeople. And this will also help others understand what it's like to be in remote and global sales. So I'm excited to have two guests today from Hypertherm Associates, Teresa and Felix. And I wanted to jump right in with Teresa, if you could introduce yourself and share a little bit about your background, and then we'll go to Felix.
Sure. Hi, I am Teresa Alvarez. I am the distribution sales manager at Hypertherm for Iberia, which includes Spain and Portugal. I am based in Madrid, and I lead the Hypertherm distribution channel managers by maintaining strong and lasting relationships, not only business purely relationships, but also personal relationships, and also being for them a trusted advisor as well. And for sure, as being in a sales role, also, you know, trying, you know, making the most to achieve the expected or the planned business results. That's a key. And I've been at Hypertherm for already 3 years, and I'm 100% vested as an ESOP owner.
That's great. That's great. Well, welcome to the podcast. Thank you very much. Felix, a little bit about yourself, please.
Thank you very much, Jesse. My name is Felix Ikuagu. And a little bit about my background, I have been in sales all my life. So essentially, my skill sets are all related to channel development, account management, distribution, direct sales, people management, structural problem solving skills. And this I have kind of acquired through jobs and academically as an MBA holder. And I have been lucky enough to join Hypertherm almost 5 years ago. And right now, I'm a senior distribution sales manager for Hypertherm, responsible for United Kingdom, Republic of Ireland, and if I must say, all other islands in between, like Jersey, Guernsey. So my skill set, you know, has enabled me to, you know, to kind of hit the ground running when I joined Hypertherm, you know, making sure that I'm the go-to person for Hypertherm distribution business in the UK and Ireland, supporting Hypertherm and supporting the growth of our partners in partnership. That's me for now. Thank you.
That's great. Welcome aboard. It's great to see you, friend. All right, so I want to jump right in, and I'll go back to Teresa to start. What is the same or different about working at an employee-owned company versus your prior experience working at a company that wasn't owned by employees? What's the same or different?
Well, what is the same is that, you know, all companies to be sustainable long-term. So we look for, you know, achieving results and bringing profit. And that's for the financial perspective. But what it's really for me, what is for me the key difference working for Aesop, it's the values that are really, you know, undertaken. So values like support. And I mean, it's in being as an Aesop company, it's kind of the looks horizontality. So among all associates, also responsibility, solidarity, not only internal, but also externally among the community where we belong. Honesty, that's really very important, and care for others. So, you know, what I want to mean is that focusing in a whole, in the, you know, it's first in the whole as a group, as a, you know, as all the associates, and looking for the best interest for the whole. And then as a consequence of that, then it will impact in the best for the individual, but not putting the individual in the first and then, you know, and then the whole, just the opposite way around. It's that for me, the main difference.
That's great. I appreciate that. One of the fun challenges with talking to really a few thousand owners over the years, my fascination with it is how often people say we, and how I have to, with care, I have to sort of nudge a little bit and push the guests to say I, because the most common word in employee ownership tends to be we, and thinking of the community, thinking of your coworkers. So I appreciate both of you being able to break out of that a little bit today and share your personal experience and your personal opinions. It's wonderful. Felix, what's the same or different for you in working at an employee-owned or a non-employee-owned company? You can lend some insight for our listeners.
All right. Thank you very much, Jesse. For me, you know, again, my experience working for some of the greatest companies in the world, like Cummins, Caterpillar, Mitsubishi, you know, some very, you know, very big companies, and all great companies in their own ways. But employee-owned company has never been part of my experience until I came to Hyperton. To be quite honest, that is when I appreciated what the word ownership means. You know, when you hear the word ownership, for me personally, I started thinking about it. You know, I looked at it academically, I looked at it personally. But for me, I said, what does ownership mean? So essentially, when you own something, for me, it essentially means you can do what you like with it, right? So you're not being asked to keep it. It is yours. So you can sell, resell, you know. So for me, being an owner in Hyperton throughout my journey, first of all, has given me, if you like, a sense of freedom. Now, what do I mean by that? I have now come to realize that I can rest. I can think a little bit long term, in the sense that I'm actually working for my own future, right? Because of the stock investments that I have as part of an associate of Hyperton. So for me, that's one distinct difference between my Hyperton and my former companies. So I know that I'm working for my own future. I'm working for the growth of Hyperton. And as Hyperton is growing, I'm actually growing, making sure that when I retire, I will have something to fall back to, which is very rare. I think that is one specific, you know, differentiator for me between where I have worked before and where I'm working now in Hyperton.
That's great. Thank you for the insight. For our listeners, Hypertherm has two programs. So an ESOP is a U.S. government tax code, so it can only be for U.S. citizens. And Hypertherm was one of the early companies where the founders, Dick and Barbara Couch, wanted fair and equal inclusion for all global. We've always grown quickly to a global company. So for Teresa and Felix, they are participants in our Global Stock Value Program, or GSVP, and their units in the global program are equal to my shares in the other U.S.-based Hypertherm associates. So it is truly equal, and that we have actually helped other owned companies as they've grown to a global footprint. We've actually helped them with what our finance team and the Couches and others many years ago figured out. So it's just something that we're proud of. It's something I'm proud of with Hypertherm, with around 300 global teammates, that they're sharing equally in what has up until then been really just a U.S. benefit. So just want to bring some insight to our listeners. So I want to ask a question. I'm trying to make a little trouble. We can see where you go. I've asked this question: how does being an owner impact the way you work? And to give you a little bit of insight, sometimes people will say, you know, be offended, like, I always worked hard. I don't work harder as an owner. And other people say, you know, I work very differently as an owner. So there's no wrong answers, but I'd love to, Teresa, does being an owner change the way that you work?
Definitely. And then going back to Felix's comments, I 100% agree on his thoughts. And it's, you know, before I joined Hypertherm, I worked for big multinational companies, those that are on stock market in Wall Street, and, you know, huge companies. And they were great. I've learned there a lot. You know, indeed, they were my professional school. But there is always a but. It's that the results by where we've been, let's say, evaluated year by year, it was a short-term results. So there was a kind of an insecurity over there. So then it was, you know, the engagement was not as the engagement that we have at Hypertherm, because at Hypertherm, it's really something which is, we feel safe. We feel like really we belong to. It's a deep belonging. So it's something, it's ours. So it's something which is, you know, it's like I'm running my own business. I am like an entrepreneur. So it kind of it gives me a kind of, you know, enthusiasm and vitamin, let's say. So to give my best every day. And this is for sure a long-term, you know, relationship. And really, I would like to leave, you know, when it's my time to retire, and I hope I just leave Hypertherm for my retirement. I would really love to, you know, to leave a meaningful, you know, footprint for the newcomers, definitely.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Felix, what are your thoughts on this?
Impact was your question. Ownership impacts. That's huge in my view. Again, from a professional perspective, Hypertherm is just like any other company in terms of trying to achieve results and working on your tax and duties, you know. However, from ownership perspective is, in my view, really different. Because if you are working as an entrepreneur and you are working for yourself, there are two things from my career experience that jumps out. One, you tend to work harder, not because you want to work harder, but it's because you have to work harder. Because if you do not work hard enough, nobody's going to do it for you. It's your own, right? It's your company. So you need to make it grow. You need to make it a success, right? So you tend to do all you can, you know, to make it a success. So that's one impact. Either knowingly or unknowingly, that's the truth, the reality. And then the other part of it is also, that is also a sense of fulfillment, right? You say, okay, this is what I'm doing. Another thing that is in the back of your mind is that is you're actually thinking about your retirement plan, right? Because since it is an associate-owned company and you are vested and everything that goes into that pot essentially is going to come back to you one way or the other. So there is also, if you like, an additional sense of commitment, right? By working for an associate-owned company. So these are the two things I will actually say are the differentiators, you know, from an ownership company.
Thank you for that. So kind of building up to this question that I ask everybody, I asked this in onboarding, I asked you both in your cultural immersion several years ago, and I'll ask you now. Maybe we could start with Felix for this one. What does ownership mean to you?
Responsibility and accountability. It's as simple as nice. That. Those are the two words that come to my mind.
Awesome. Thank you. Teresa, what does ownership mean to you?
For me, it's a deep belonging, definitely, and being, you know, a community as one.
That's great. That's great. I'm enjoying this a lot. So there are large groups of associates at our manufacturing sites, at our distribution centers, regularly interacting face-to-face with much of your interaction with coworkers through Teams and the phone. How does this feel to you? How can you explain your feeling of ownership to the other, your extended family of around 2,000 people at Hypertherm Associates? Because this will also help other people with global sales at other employee-owned companies understand them a little bit more. So just to kind of narrow it down for you, how does it feel to you to be an employee owner out there running your business in each of your countries, Teresa?
Yeah, well, I think that today's technology, it's, you know, plays in our favor. So, and especially, you know, with the pandemic, so we've learned to, you know, to interact much more through, you know, Teams and, you know, WhatsApp. So in our team, a team where, you know, it's Felix and myself, we work, it's in the EMEA distribution team. We have a WhatsApp group for all the DSMs. And this group, it's really open 24/7 with the mainly purpose of support each other. So whenever each of us, we have a question, a concern, or we are at a distributor or an end user, and we've been, you know, faced with a question, we don't know the answer. So then we just reach out to the colleagues through the WhatsApp group, and, you know, it's an immediate response we have from different members. But not only for work, also this group works, you know, for fun. So we also sometimes we share some funny things, which I think it's great. So it's the same for the WhatsApp group we have among the family, for instance. So we also, you know, discuss or share or, you know, thoughts or, you know, serious things, but also funny things. So it's a very open group, there are no rules, so one can just, yes, so everyone just can spot whatever. But, you know, it's very respectful, for sure. But even, you know, and apart from that group, our communication, does not follow, you know, kind of, you know, rules or kind of a strict business rule as maybe in other, you know, companies. So then if I have a really urgent or something that I really need an answer, and some, you know, the WhatsApp group, it's, you know, lasting in replying me, I can give a phone call to any of my peers, and I know that I am not annoying them. And that's very good. And, you know, knowing that can just, you know, without any advice upfront or any without just scheduling a meeting or time slot to reach out any of my colleagues, I can do that, and vice versa, they can do the same with me. And if I cannot reply, that I say, well, I cannot, I'll do it in a couple of minutes, and then I reply back. You know, this kind of freedom and open and being really sincere, I think it's the key.
It's great. A common word which I'm hearing as a theme from you is camaraderie in ownership, is camaraderie and teamwork and care and trust. So it's fun to hear that you have worked with the technology to build your community. And the way you describe that, it does not feel like you're out on your own. You have them, your team and your community right there for, you know, taking care of the customer or sharing something joyful in a personal life. So it's great. That's why I wanted to ask this question, so we could hear that insight. Felix, for you, can you add on to Teresa's comments with that perspective?
Absolutely. I will second, on all honesty, Teresa's position. Yes, you know, there's a lot of support structure because of, you know, that ownership culture, that associate culture that we have, right? So we work together, you know, we either swim or drown, as they say. So we all stick together, do what we have together to support each other. Absolutely brilliant. But I must be very honest, based on my background, you know, I've not really, well, how would I put it? In the sense of remote, I've always worked somewhere, even if I travel a lot, I'm always close to the mothership, right? I'm always, you know, by the HQ, just like our associates in New Hampshire, right? Even if they travel all over the globe, at the end of the day, they come back to the HQ, the factory is closed. So I do miss that a little bit, to be quite honest. You know, that feeling of, you know, walking down to the factory, speaking to some of the guys, or going to another office. So I do miss it. So being in the UK, working remotely does have its other side of it as well, even with the help of technology. So it does feel sometimes remote.
Yeah, I appreciate you being, both of you being so open with that. It's a personal question. I think it's important to share what that experience is. And so I'm kind of leading to the next question with, you know, from Spain, from the UK, it could be employee ownership could be unfamiliar to your customers, to your partners. In the US, where it's originated, there's still a lot of mystery. There's around 10 million employee owners. So it's a lot of people, but many of our customers and partners haven't really heard about it before Hypotherm. So I'd love to hear your global insight, because you have the extra layer of just the general concept of employee ownership may not be familiar in your countries that you focus on. So how do you talk about employee ownership with your customers and partners, Teresa? How do you talk about it?
I don't have the recipe know, I don't have the recipe, but I think that the way that that we act, or the way that we speak, and the way that we show up, how proud are we of, for, you know, for being at Alpecin, I can share that, you know, they really feel jealous, might say, or like at least curious, you know, because it's not so common that the people feel proud of and happy for working for a, you know, a certain company. So and as you mentioned, in Spain, it's not so frequent to find a company being, you know, it's an, you know, being an ownership. So it's, there are only few local companies, and but they are, you know, far away from the way that they do business. So, you know, I never talk with, you know, with, I never specific have a talk to my partners, channel partners, or to my customers about the ownership, but the way that, you know, I think that I interact, or I show them, you know, how proud I am of being an Alpecin, it makes them really, you know, jealous about how I am, you know, how I am, really.
That's great. That's, thank you for the insight. Felix, so I'll ask the question the way I should have asked Teresa. Do you talk about ownership with your customers and partners? And if so, how do you talk about it? What are your insights, please?
Yeah, same as Teresa, with pride, right? I mean, I'm proud of to be a Hypothema associate. So when I am lucky to inherit, well, I don't know if you say it's lucky, but in a way it's lucky because it's a matured market. On the other side of it, if it was an emerging market, then it's a little bit different. But it's a mature market where most of the distributors know Hypothem relatively well. And so they have a little bit of history of Hypothem. So, but my communication to them about Hypothem is with pride, because at least my keyword is take care of Hypothem, and Hypothem will take care of you. And I have been here now going to 5 years, and I can actually tell them with pride that that is actually true.
That's great. I appreciate the insights. So I want to bring it literally closer to home. For your families, you could be the only person they know in the whole world that owns a part of their successful company that is an employee owner, associate owner. Felix, how do you talk about associate ownership, employee ownership with your friends and family? How do you share that? What words do you use so our listeners can learn?
CEO. I tell them I'm a CEO. That mess with me. I'm a shareholder. I'm a company owner. So those kind of jokes, you know. I think
that's great.
It's actually with joy, to be quite honest. You know, working now for almost 30 years, different companies. And when I talk to my wife, I say, look, I'm part of this company. You know, the way the company is structured, I've never seen any company structured that way. So in a sense, I'm working for myself. So, you know, the keywords are, you know, owner, CEO, entrepreneur, working for yourself. Those are the keywords when I talk about Hypothem to my family. And they do see it as well. You know, the way I work, the how passionate I am, the way I support my distributors and trying to do my best to make sure that things work, the way I go about my tax, you know, they see it, you know, that commitment, that sense of commitment that you're working and doing something different, you know, is very, very visible in my house.
That's great. Yeah, it's great. It's a different experience for workers that can have a long-term view. Long-term, you mentioned it before. I like your terms of deep belonging and a sense of safety. And so it's fun to hear, you know, what you share with your families and bringing the international twist to it, because it might not be familiar at all. Teresa, how do you talk to friends and family about being an owner?
Yes, definitely. And I still remember the first reaction when I got this, you know, this position when I was hired by Alpecin. And then I share, you know, because I didn't know, you know, when you are out of Alpecin, you don't know really how is it. Okay, so you know that you might do some searching in Google, you know, what is this company about, technology, blah, blah, but you don't really know, you know, the core. So then when I finally got the job, and my leader at that time explained all the conditions, and I was kind of, wow, I was all the time, wow. And then when I explained that, yes, I explained that to my family, and then days after to my friends, I was getting one question from all of them. How much is the entrance fee? How much did you have to pay to belong to that? It's kind of belonging to, you know, a golf club, or, you know, it's kind of this very elitist. How much did you pay? Because now if you're going to be rewarded, it's not, you are not going to be only pay, you know, let's say your salary, but you are going to be rewarded for being an owner. So, but how much did you, you know, had to pay for, you know, to have a share in the company? Yes. So, and it's kind, it's not possible. It's kind, yes, believe me, it's true. It's true. So yes, but, you know, but jokes apart, it's this feeling of protection and, you know, and being really a stable company. And I honestly think, does this ownership also makes that the company stronger, with a higher, you know, capacity to absorb economical impacts that are not foreseen upfront, and helps to develop these internal solidarity mechanisms, you know, for instance, for our colleagues, the Russian colleagues, you know, this relocation and all, you know, the efforts that the Hypertherm has done and it's doing, you know, to keep all together and, you know, to have them relocate and then find a way for them and for their family. It's one of the best examples, for, at least for us in Europe, to see how it's really, how it's the reality working for, you know, for Hypertherm.
That's great. Yeah, thank you for the insights. And just to add a little bit more to your mention of the relocation for our listeners, when we had our in-country associates affected by the war in Ukraine, the company went to great lengths to relocate them and their families to a safe place, and something we're all really proud of to see, for sure. You can hear it in my voice getting a little verklempt on that. It's very, very powerful. All right. I want to, you're 3 years or so, Teresa. Felix, you're around 5 years of tenure. What is your advice for those new to ownership? And you can answer this however you want, but this is the reason I'm asking you this question. I really would like your insight into, is that we regularly see new companies become employee-owned, or we welcome new associates at Hypertherm, and it's something new, like you were looking back on. So now that you are older and wiser employee associate owners, what is your advice for people that are learning about this new thing they've never really heard of, employee ownership? What's your advice to them? Teresa, you want to start us?
Yeah. So I would say, and it's, try to bring with you a whiteboard, you know, it's, and remove the shield that you've built already, you know, through all your professional experiences. From each experience, from each professional experience, if you have been in a non-ESOP company or non-ownership company, so along the way, in somehow, you build your own protection, your shield. And when you arrive at Hypertherm, it's kind of, you feel, you have kind of, wow, this is very weird what is happening here. And sometimes you feel uncomfortable because it's not the way that you were used to work, the way that you were used to interact with others. But then, you know, I suggest, you know, try to, you know, to replicate other, you know, colleagues, you know, behaviors, and don't have fear about showing yourself the way you are. You can express and you can be yourself and act as one team. Don't go on your own. We do not look for your single result, your single performance. We look for, you know, the whole as a one team. And that's my best advice.
That's great. I appreciate it. And I'm going to ask Felix in just a second for his, but I want to ask a follow-up question. How long did it take you to be comfortable as an owner to really trust it? Like, just to give an insight into how long it might take somebody. How long, if you're open to sharing that, how long did it take you? Days or weeks or months or years? Think of how long it took you to trust.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought you were asking to Felix.
Yeah, how no, long? I was not clear enough.
sorry. Okay, let's say the first 6 months, because yes, I joined it in July, and then I recognized, and when I took over this position, the numbers, the figures, they were not as expected. So then I was really on a rush, and I was eager to do my best in order to have the year-end results as much as closer to the plan as possible, because I didn't want to fail. And then I was always having my leader, you know, comments or advice, please don't rush. I'm not going to look at you as an individual. I'm not going to look at you as your single result. I am here to support. I am here to help you. And the important is the group, is the team result. And then for me, it was kind of very weird, because I was always, you know, being, you know, the year-end assessment by my leader in previous companies. It was me, and me, and my results. It was very, very focused on me as an individual, not as a team or as a group. So then I must admit that I had to wait till the year end, since I saw that my results, unfortunately, they did not meet the plan, the expected results. And then I was not punished by that. And I say punished because if I was in another company, probably I would have been punished with, you know, a lower merit increase or, you know, any other measurements. And at Apathem, I saw, well, so it's good because my leader saw and perceived and has accompanied me along this way, these 6 months, and they knew that I did my utmost, but the numbers didn't come as expected. So, but then he recognizes my efforts. And that's for me, it's, you know, was kind of, this is a different company, definitely.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that insight. Felix, for you, I'm going to ask you both questions, and we'll go back to, what is your advice after 5 years, your other, you know, total of 30 years of professional experience? What is your advice for those new to ownership? What do you want them thinking about?
Yes, I have to think about this myself before I can advise somebody. But I think I have very, again, based on my experience so far, if you are looking to leave something that is going to be meaningful even when you are no longer there, then you are very much welcome to Hypertherm. I think for me, what comes to mind when I think about ownership is we rise by lifting others. It might sound very simplistic, but what that means is that just like the founder of Hypertherm did his best and was magnanimous enough to say, look, I want to leave all this or leave a big chunk of it and make sure that those that are behind actually benefit from what my vision is, what I have been able to achieve. I think that culture is absolutely resounding to me. So every day, what I can think to somebody who comes into Hypertherm is do your best, because if you do your best, you are rising, so you are solidifying your own future, but at the same time, you're making sure that those behind you have something else to fall on. So essentially, we rise by lifting others. That's what I can think about.
That's great. I appreciate it. Well, this brings us to our last question, which is, why should somebody looking for a new role consider joining Hypertherm Associates? And I'll share, I had a lovely surprise this week. When we have some candidates come in, I am asked by the talent acquisition team to give them a culture and cutting experience. So sometimes when they fly in to be on site, we do a lot of remote interviews, but sometimes when they're on site, they ask me to do this. And I had a high level candidate and I asked, you know, hey, we're going to bring you down, give you a tour, explain a little bit about our unique culture, talk about ownership, whatever you're interested in. This isn't part of your interview. And I asked if he had questions about ownership. And to my total delight and surprise, he said, oh, I've listened to a few of your podcasts to learn a little bit about ownership and Hypertherm. So it was just a real treat. So knowing that we've actually reached a potential future coworker for us through this question, I want to have a little bit of fun for you at the end, because I ask all the other ESOPs that I interview, all the other employee-owned companies, I let them finish by helping the talent acquisition teams there in these times where it's increasingly hard to hire. We need to help each other out. So it's fun as a coworker to ask you, Felix, we'll start with you. Why should someone looking for a new role consider joining Hypertherm Associates? Give me a few words on why they should join you as an extended teammate or a direct teammate.
Thank you very much. I guess the obvious, I mean, This company will take care of you. Actually, it's a retirement plan for you, which is most important. So you have something to fall back to. So if you're looking for a company where the word teamwork means anything, then you're welcome to join Hypathon because we essentially rise by lifting others. So we work together, we aim towards one result. And with that, an associate-owned company ownership means I will encourage you, if you have any opportunity to join Hypathon, to grab it with both hands because it does really make a difference. It's going to make a difference in the long term for you and for your family, to be quite honest.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Teresa, finish us out. Why should somebody consider Hypathon Associates?
Yes. And just adding a few comments from, from Felix, it's that I would add also, you joining Hypathon, you will have the opportunity of drawing a more human aspect of the company, of the economy, and at the end of the world.
That's great.
More human.
Thank you. More human. I like it. Yeah. That would be good on a Hypathon t-shirt or employee ownership t-shirt. That could be a new trend started from Spain. Is there anything that you want to add to our conversation? Anything that you wanted to talk about that we did not yet talk about, just to give you that opportunity? All right. I will bring us to a close then. So thank you both very much for your time, your insights, sharing your personal feelings and ideas. This podcast, the Owner to Owner podcast, is done to amplify ownership, kind of bring new voices. It's much more interesting for me to hear your voices than for me to talk about it too much. And I think it's just been a lot of fun to have different voices that weren't part of the conversation, where other salespeople at other companies can hear you and see themselves in you. And I appreciate that. And you've helped others that maybe work at factories hear a little bit more. What is it like to be? What does it feel like to be in international sales and have that responsibility and to be an owner and what that can feel like in your day to day? So really appreciate it. So again, this is Jesse Tyler for the Owner to Owner podcast. This is made for Brett Kiesling and the EO Podcast Network. To all of our listeners, we really appreciate your time and attention, your curiosity. If there were any technical hiccups with the audio from Spain, UK, and New Hampshire, we appreciate your rolling with those and look forward to sharing future episodes and ownership voices going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you very much.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.